Welcome to the Pete Primo Show. It is episode 168, and we are here with my guest, Andrea Waltz, and we are going to talk about her book, Go For No. But before we do that, let's just get the bills paid really, really quick. If you haven't read my book, Sell a Million, 101 Tips for Furniture and Mattress Store Owners, what are you waiting for? It's mostly a marketing book, but anything that has anything to do with me bleeds sales. So two other sponsors we need to talk about. Chris, pull whichever one up is near and dear to your heart. I threw him for a loop. The Mattress Industry Network Group. Thank you, Greg. And thank you, Steve, for sponsoring the show. If you are in the mattress industry, we want you in this group, over 2,200 strong, might even be over 2,300 strong. But the strength isn't in the numbers. It's in the quality of people here. If you want to learn how to build, market, sell, and succeed in the mattress industry, come into this free Facebook group. Everybody's here, from store owners to RSAs to sales reps to owners of manufacturers and VPs of sales. Everybody's in here. Come join us and hit that QR code right there that hit scan me, say hi to me. I'm in the group several times a week, and it's just a great place so that you do not have to feel like you're all alone. Thank you, Chris, for prompting me. My friends at Bedden Industries of America are showing in High Point right this moment. Go in and say hi to Steve Carnes and Stu Carlitz. They are at the Crown Mark building on 200 East Green Drive on the fourth floor. Listen, I could sit here and go on and on about the product for an hour. I could go on and on about the service for an hour. Forget about all that. Go to talk to Steve Carnes. This dude is rarefied air. He is one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met in over 40 years in the mattress industry. He can impact your business. He can help you get unstuck. He can help you survive what is turning out to be a challenging year. So get to Bedden Industries of America if you're in High Point right now, and join the winning team. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Hey, Pete, I'm so glad to be with you.
So guys, me and Andrea have never talked before other than like 5 minutes in the green room. We met on LinkedIn and we started chatting, and before you know it, I invited her to my show. In the meantime, I got this book. I want you to see this. Go For No. It's an incredible book. Not only do I have the paperback copy, but I also have listened to this book no less than 10 times. No less than 10 times on Audible, because that's how I consume my information. And I have to tell you, you and Richard did a fantastic job on this book. It is actually your book and my book are opposites. I have 101 things to do, chapters actually, and more than that. And you really, in this, there's a half a dozen really super important lessons in it that can literally transform not only a salesperson's career, but somebody's life. I think what you have here is bigger. It's much bigger than just sales. This is life. And when we don't go through life, when we go through life trying to avoid no's, we live a half a life, if that. And so this is my question for you. I just want like a little inside baseball as to the pillow talk before you and Richard came up with this book, because it is unbelievably great. And everybody go out, buy this right now, like now, like go on Amazon and buy it.
Okay. I will give you some inside baseball. This is really funny. I don't think I've ever shared this on any podcast or show ever. Richard was We were teaching Go for No to the retailers that we were working with. That was our niche, was working for retail organizations. Anybody that you'd see working, anybody that you'd see as you walked through the average shopping mall. So whether it was specialty retail clothing or department stores or mattress stores, I mean, anybody. And he had this belief that once you kind of told somebody, hey, Go for No, that, as he put it, the cat was out of the bag. Like, people would get it. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think we need to, there's more here. And so he came up with the idea, like, okay, then let's write a book. But we'll make it a fable. So it'll be, something that people can, get emotionally attached to. We had already written another book just for retailers that was super short. It was 64 pages. So we kept Go for No also short, about 80 pages. Just wanted to tackle this one topic. And the funny part was, as much as he said, oh, all you have to do is say Go for No and the cat's out of the bag, we've written a book, we've done a online training program, we speak, we've created all kinds of different content and challenges and workbooks. And I'm like, okay, apparently the cat's not out of the bag when you say the phrase. There's a lot more to it. having the book has really been the door opener. And I think it's the thing that if you read it, and I appreciate all the kind words, thank you.
You're welcome.
It hopefully shifts your perspective, because Go for No is a really counterintuitive concept, because of course, Go for Yes is really on all of our minds, right? We want to go for yes. We want to get yeses. Yeah. But that's why the subtitle is so important, which is yes is the destination. So make no mistake, we want yeses, but no is how you get there.
Yeah. I absolutely loved it. And what I was nervous about a little bit is, like, I understand and see this as really super easy for B2B, but not as applicable to retailers until I read the part about the bragging rights about the sale. And then the sales manager asked the question. I don't know if we should go into that or not, but I think that Richard is probably, I'm guessing, super smart, and he assumes everybody's just as smart as him. So the cat's really never out of the bag, because you're not necessarily your audience. And a lot of us sometimes think that everybody's on the same wavelength, and they're just not. And that doesn't mean they're dumber. Some of them are way smarter than we'll ever be. But to assume that somebody's on the same wavelength is just a bridge too far. And you were, you know, all over that when he had mentioned that, you know, the cow's out of the barn. No, not really. Part of it, maybe. So, getting a no sends a lot of salespeople into a head spin. I mean, it could ruin their whole day. And one of the most powerful things I ever read was Zig Ziglar. And Zig was saying years and years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, when the dinosaur roamed the earth, Zig said, listen, you're going to get a prospect who should have bought your product, and it's going to frustrate you, and they're going to say no. And you're going to go on your way. But if you keep replaying that no in your head, you're going to let that prospect steal your dreams. You have to, as a salesperson, be able to park that and go forward with energy, looking for the next no. And that's the beauty in what this book teaches. It makes you actually understand the correlation between no and yes, and that I have to go through no. Do you mind if I show one of the pages?
No, not at all.
So I listened to the book numerous times, and again this morning, because I didn't want to not do a great job, but I didn't get this part of it. I didn't get that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. So success is on one side, failure's on the other. We're trying to avoid failure, but that's not the truth. Where I highlighted, I have to go through failure to get to success. And that, to me, is so huge. So sorry, I took up the whole screen there.
Yeah, you know, that model is so important. And when we teach Go For No, we always talk about that model, because without it, if you just tell people go out there and hear a lot of no's, they think, okay, well, that's crazy, because that's not gonna work. How does that lead me to yes? It's understanding that model, that you're not gonna show one mattress most of the time and get the customer to say yes on the first go, no matter how good you are. And right. So it's helping people understand that the failure, the no, is in the middle of the process, and the success and yes that you're seeking is on the other side. So that when you start questioning Go For No and you think, wait a minute, does this strategy really make sense? Am I insane? Am I crazy? No, you have to remember that model, that just because you're getting no's, just because you're failing and you're getting rejected, doesn't mean you're on the wrong path, right? You're on the freeway, you see the sign marked failure, rejection, you think, oh, I should turn around, success is the other way. No, you need to stay on the road. You need to keep going. But Pete, I have to take us back just for a minute, because the thing is, and you kind of alluded to this when you were talking about, the cat out of the bag and Richard being so smart. We come at Go For No from two very different kind of positions. Richard, and we talk about this in our live speeches, he was a salesperson who was terrified of hearing the word no. That's why the main character in the book is pretty much a mediocre salesperson who avoids hearing no, thinks that, that his goal, his mission is to not hear the word no. And that was Richard's mindset. He hated no, he hated rejection. And he was a decent salesperson, though. When he taught Go For No to me, because he told me this Go For No story that we have in the book, the one you're referring to, when he shared that story with me, I was actually the opposite. It wasn't that I feared rejection. I didn't really, to me, I didn't think I thought about it one way or the other. But what I did believe was that I was a superstar salesperson. I was so good with customers. I could develop rapport. I could instantly know based on just sometimes looking at people. And the majority of my career was an eyeglass retailer at LensCrafters. And so I've got very, very good, too good. And you know what I'm saying when I say you get too good as a salesperson, right? And so I got so good. And when he told me the Go For No story, I had to stop and I had to get honest with myself. And I said, you know what? The truth is, I don't like hearing no. See, I thought I was the superstar, but then I had to get honest and say, I actually don't like to hear no, so much so that I will prejudge somebody or decide what products or things that they should know about so that I just get the yeses and I can avoid all that no nonsense because I would rather not hear it, instead of being a salesperson who asked great questions, showed everything that customer should see, and then let them decide and have the courage, if you will, to be the one to shoulder those no's. And that's really what we have to do as sales professionals, is we have to shoulder the no's as professionals, which means that we're going to show some things and we're going to get some no's to things, but that's part of the service we provide.
Yeah, 100%. And when that's, I want to go back even further. So in when you get Audible, it does not say this part. It does not say that this is a fictional story. Doesn't start with that. It just goes straight into it. So like, Andrea, I got thrown for a loop. Like, I'm going, all right, I think this is a story, but I'm not sure. Now, oh my gosh, this really is a story. and like, what's going on? What does this mean? I'm trying to fit everything into like cubes, and it's not really working. And I'm like, man, I wish that. And then I said, no, I don't wish that I would have known at the beginning, because number one, it made me listen to it two times, like immediately. And I even caught something, and I told you 10 times, could have been more. But today I even caught some things that I didn't catch from the first time. And actually getting the written book with the frameworks in it is priceless. That in and of itself. But what I loved about this, sometimes salespeople, we put fences around ourselves to protect ourselves, and we fight this idea of accepting instruction when it's coming to you as a novel, as a fictional story that has lessons in it. It kind of goes places that a regular lecture about sales can't go. And for instance, the story about the clothing store. I'm like, no. Oh, yeah. Guilty. I'm guilty. And I'm like, I was fighting it. And then I'm like, no, I do that. And I still do it even as a wholesale rep. Like, I'm so happy to run away with my whatever order it is that I forget to ask for something else that they really, truly need. And sometimes us running away with what we perceive as the prize, when the prize is no, you are going to more fully engage the customer. You are going to uncover more needs, and you're going to more fully serve them. You're going to become insanely valuable to them. And then the chances of you getting a referral, a 5-star online review, a testimonial, all the things that we need in today's new world to be successful salespeople, you get when you more fully engage the customer, when in fact you go for no. And that really drove the point home to me. And I'm like, no. Yes, damn it. I did that. And I just, so it was really the way the book was. I've only seen one other book structured like this in the sales world, where it's an actual novel. And I just think it's brilliant. And I think there actually should be more of it, because we as salespeople have our armor up, and we don't necessarily are always as open to learning new ideas as we should. And this kind of is able to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I completely agree. And I love that you said that. And, you know, as somebody who's studied sales for 25 years, is in sales, I should say, I'm in more B2B than B2C. Right. But my whole background is B2C. We have a tendency, at least I know I did, is I skim something and say, oh, I know that. What it really means is I've heard that, I've seen that before, and do I really do that? Not necessarily. So that's that's, I think, my passion with this material that we teach on, is that it is counterintuitive. A lot of people, I think, do give kind of short shrift to rejection. It's kind of like, yeah, there's rejection, just deal with it and move on, because we don't really know how to deal with it. And it's a touchy-feely topic. And I think for sales managers, they oftentimes don't know how to deal with it, because it's like, well, toughen up, get thick skin. What do you want me to tell you? You're going to hear no a lot. There's nothing I can do for you, you know? And so this puts a framework around it that you can teach to deal with those things.
Yeah. And, you know, when the other thing that I really fought was the stages of no, And I'm like, okay, I can get to the place where I'm okay with no, but me wanting to get a no, that might be a bridge too far. And then when I really started diving into that, I realized, and you guys had an example in the book, and the example is when you have a sales quota that you, let's just say you set it up for yourself, and now you go, I've hit that, and you stop. When you're going for no, you don't stop. You never stop. And so when a salesperson is on a hot streak and they are just jamming and things are going well, and luckily we've all been there, some of us more, some of us less in our career. What I was doing before was actually slowing myself down because I was going for the yes. And I'm like, hey, got three yeses in a row. Let's, you know, that. But if I'm going for no, I'm not slowing down. I'm not interrupting the momentum that I have. And I thought that was brilliant. That was really important piece, especially for the higher energy, super motivated performers, to make them understand that you wanting to get a no, it's gonna give you, it's gonna straighten out these peaks and valleys that we have. It's gonna keep you kind of going with your momentum a little bit further, a little bit longer than you would if you were just going for a yes. So I really, really got a kick out of that.
Well, and if you think about it, it's kind of almost like, I wonder sometimes, we don't go into this in the book, but is that related to maybe fear of success, which ultimately could be fear of failure? So in other words, if I do too well, if I just keep, I'm on fire. Yeah, I've had hot streaks, right? You just keep getting yes after yes. And you think, if I get too many yeses, if I blow my numbers out of the water this month, what will they say next month? What will be required of me next month? Maybe I can't do this again. And so it's like, no, I'll just kind of play, you know, I'll just kind of play at this average level so that I don't blow it out. But who knows what will happen next month? We've got to, and especially in the current economic climate that we're in, you got to take advantage of when, for whatever reason, you are just hitting home runs. I mean, if you are, you've got to take advantage of that. Don't slow yourself down. Don't let that fear of success / fear of failure get in your way. And kind of talk yourself out of, you know, keeping going. And you're right. It is typically that high performer who, and that's not to say, I'm not talking about the total hustle and grind to where you burn yourself out and you're not effective. There's got to be a middle road there, and you could make yourself crazy of just, okay, I'm never going to slow down. I'm never going to stop. I'm going to work 7 days a week. But at the same time, how many times do we shut ourselves down? Because I know I've certainly done that many times.
Yeah, more times than not, I would say. So that piece of it was incredibly beneficial for me. Mm-hmm. And it really, looking back in my career, I said, that's exactly what happened. I was so focused on the yeses. I got so many yeses in a row that I started to coast a little bit. And I started, you know, what we do as salespeople, Andrea, and I know you know, I know Richard, and you know this because it's in your book. We wrap ourselves up into the paperwork aspect of it, the administrative, and the administrative part of our job. Listen, you can only rearrange things so much. You can only go through your cards so many times, and then you got to get out there and you got to do your thing, and you really do have to go for no. And when you're sitting in your office pretending the paperwork takes twice as long as it does, are you hiding from no? That's the question. Mm. Are you hiding from no? And if we embrace what's in this book, we will no longer be hiding from no's. We will go headlong into them and figure out a way to do that paperwork a little bit faster and get to the next no, because that's what's feeding me. Stu Segura, how are you, Stu? I was wondering where you were. I was getting very lonely here. Where is the place that best benefits Mrs. Waltz to purchase the book? Oh, my. Andrea, do you understand what you've done?
I know.
You made Stu fall in love with you so much that he wants you to get the maximum benefit from his from him purchasing the book.
That's so awesome. You have the best. You have the best viewers, Pete. That's very kind. Honestly, wherever it works for you, Amazon is great because we like people to buy on Amazon and review it afterwards. So you know, Amazon's appreciated, but ultimately, wherever.
Stu, you got a question for us, brother? You always got great insights.
I do love questions. I will say that.
Well, I love the fact that that was his first question. Like, I'm sold. Where do I buy it? Jeff Bezos has enough homes. Yeah.
True.
But Richard and Andrea never have too many reviews, my friends. So.
And that's a go for no thing right there, Pete, because you were talking about that. And that's why, you know, when you get to that wantingness stage and let's say the sale has just gone your way and you have somebody who they find that first item and then maybe they find a second item or an add-on to their purchase and they're just you've got all these yeses and then you think, what else is there? Well, there is always asking, hey, if you enjoyed your experience, I would deeply appreciate you sending people that you know my way. Can I give you a couple cards to take with you? Or would you be willing to go on Google or Yelp or whatever and give us a review? I mean, those are great opportunities. And do it in the moment, right? So I think sometimes we get scared like, oh, I don't want to look pushy. I don't want to look aggressive. The sale's gone so well. I don't want to look that certain way. Yeah, but if you've taken care of a customer so well that they feel like, gosh, this was a great process. You know, buying, we all know, because we're all buyers as much as we are sellers, can be stressful. And we hate to make especially mattresses. There is such a fear. You certainly know this more than I do, but, of making the wrong decision, right? I mean, it's just like, that's like the nightmare is I don't want to make a wrong decision. So if you take care of somebody in that moment, they are yours. That's when you need to go for no and get that opportunity to say, tell people about your experience. How was it? How, you know, do you feel good about what just happened?
That's awesome. Continue to go for the no. Hey, Guy, all the way from South Africa. Guy and Kyle, what you guys got? You guys got anything? I am sure you guys do. They always have the best questions. There is a little time lag, so. So, Andrea, I want to understand this piece at the very end of the book. Mm. Is that kind of wrapped it up and made me very happy. I mean, like, I was like literally jumping for joy and I didn't understand why I was jumping for joy. But then when I re-listened to it on my walk today, I said, that's why, because it was already set up. But I never realized that it was already set up. The question was in my like subconscious. And it's like, how in God's name do you plant something in my subconscious in 80 pages. And then when I get to the end, the last sentence of the book, I get all kinds of crazy happy.
How do you do that? That would be my business partner and husband and co-author, Richard. He is truly a creative genius of the two of us. And luckily, he has that skill. And part of that skill actually was developed. He did years of creative writing. He's written screenplays, and we haven't sold anything. We did try to sell screenplays in Hollywood. He's written, we like our hobby, as if we don't do enough business writing, was writing. We did a huge fictional paranormal suspense, which he spent 3-4 years detailing and writing. So he's just very, very creative and has the ability to, you know, our goal is to have people care about the main character and to kind of see themselves in that main character a little bit, you know, to kind of relate to him as, okay, he's not exceptional. And I have to tell you, that's a little bone I have to pick sometimes with sales books. And I understand why people do it. But it's like, you read it and it's, I'm exceptional. Here's how I kicked butt in my sales career. Here's all the awards I've won. And again, I totally get that. It's the bona fides, right? It's like, here's all I've done. And so when you're reading that, you really feel like, okay, I may not necessarily relate to that person. I'm not this superstar, award-winning, you know, salesperson. I want to learn to be that person, but it's that relatability. So that was important to have that from the character standpoint, that this isn't like, he's not a superstar. And so here, let's see him learn this thing that could help him get there.
So, you know, strictly from a marketing standpoint, Andrea, I'm sure you already know this. You both know this either on a gut level or because of your marketing chops. One of the biggest reasons copy won't work is because the audience does not see themselves as that superstar. They've made mistakes. So if you don't draw out the fact that, hey, I know that you're like me and you've made mistakes before, it wasn't your fault, blah, 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 this was told to you, that was told to you, and here's what we learned. But you didn't have to do all of that because you made this character so relatable that we could fully accept ourselves in him. And I thought that was brilliant. Even the thing with, you know, having put on a little bit of weight and there's two of me now. And it's so fascinating. But I love anytime we talk about sales and selling more. I don't want techniques that only a superstar can use. I want techniques and I want mindsets that an average human being can be successful with. And I think that's what you did in this book. As a matter of fact, you guys really tackled the 800-pound gorilla that derails most salespeople. And even when they are successful, they could be more successful if they would just go back all the way to the beginning and really deal with once and for all this fear of no, that no one wants to talk about. It's like an 800-pound gorilla in a closet. Like my grandfather had me scared crapless that there was an 800-pound gorilla in this closet. And one day, I think my whole life, I finally got up to courage. And I opened the closet and I said, Grandpa, there's no 800-pound gorilla in here. Now, intellectually, I knew at some point, but I still thought maybe he's right. And that's what happens with go for no. There's a whole nother world on the other side of no. And you can't get to yes unless you go through no. And that's why this picture, which I'm like a male Allie McBeal. That's what I am. And I like exaggerate everything in my head. It's ridiculous, some of the things that go on in my head. But I didn't see this. But when I got to, when I got to the paperback copy of it, understanding that I can't turn away from failure and get to success, I have to go through failure to get to success. And once we get that, and that's why I said, it's not just for salespeople. It's for everybody. Do you want to have a better life? Do you? Most people in our lives, whether we're raising children, it doesn't matter what our job is. We have to get comfortable, even in our walk in our faith. It doesn't even matter what your faith is. Even your walk in your faith, you have to go through failure to get to the success. You have to, because if you stop and you go, nope, I'm just a bad person. No, dust your boots off, pick yourself up, tell yourself you're going to do better, get all the way through that mess, whatever it happens to be. And then you'll find that on the other side, things are a lot better.
Absolutely. And you know, the other part that has been really cool over the years is we have heard from people in so many different countries. I mean, we've had the book. So the book is not published by a publisher. We published the book and have always maintained the rights to the book. So we've had it translated into many different languages. Latvian, Russian, Hungarian, Chinese, Italian. The book sells very well in Italy. Hindi. So the content of India, and this thing that you're Australia. I mean, so English obviously for Australia, but it's the thing is that as a planet, as humans, I think we're biologically wired to not get rejected, to not get thrown out of the tribe, so to speak, and which is very dangerous, of course. And so we're dealing with our brains that haven't caught up to the 21st century. Our brains are from wiring from thousands of years ago. And so our brains don't see and perceive rejection as a good thing. You know, our brains see rejection as very dangerous, and that's why it's important to continuously, and this sounds a little self-serving, it's not meant to be, but we tell people, like, you've got to remind yourself of go for no. You've got to constantly be, we call it notivation instead of motivation. You've got to constantly be getting that notivation and keeping it top of mind, because your brain doesn't want to do that. And of course, for most people, when they get a no, and you kind of alluded this actually in your introduction, you know, what happens? Do you run from a no? When we are selling and it's like, we hear that first no, it's like, okay, well, I'll just leave you alone and I'll just let you look and, you know, I won't bother you anymore. It's like all this terrified reaction. Instead, we got to stay engaged and figure out, okay, let's read this customer. Let's maybe ask another question or two. Let's not take that no personal and run, because that's a surefire way to end the sale and have them walk out. And this is something that actually, and Pete, you'll love this. This is something that we didn't put in the Go For No book. We should have. But Richard talks about it when we're on stage. One of the things that Harold said, he said, by the way, do you know where that customer is right now? And Richard said, no. And he said, he's at the other end of the mall spending the rest of the money that you wouldn't let him spend with us. Mm-hmm. So somebody walks out. It's not that the decision is, we're not getting a mattress today. The decision is, we're just going to go somewhere else and look and shop with somebody who we perceive might be better or different for some weird reason, right? And so don't let that no be the end.
So guys and gals, you're probably wondering what we're talking about. So I'm just going to bring it out. So there's a part in the book where the salesperson was super happy about the sale he made. And the sales manager said, when did they say no? They never said no. Well, how do you know you were finished? And that is a super, super important lesson. And as Andrea just said, they went to complete their purchase at another store, probably on the other end of the mall. And don't let that be you, especially in the world that we live in the mattress world. We know that a customer is better served when they get an adjustable bed, when they get new sheets. If they don't get the new sheets from you, they're gonna go to another store and get new sheets. That, you don't show them pillows, they're gonna go to another store and get the pillows. God forbid that you are so uneducated or so evil that you don't sell them a mattress protector, which, by the way, could void their warranty. Those four things complete a mattress sale. And if you're not going for no on each and every one of them with gusto, you're shortchanging yourself and you're shortchanging your customer, because the sheets and the protectors and the pillows in your store are probably better than they are at the other store. And here's the worst part about it. For most protector warranties to work, they have to be written on the same receipt as the mattress. And so they, in fact, might buy a protector somewhere else, but they have no warranty, no peace of mind warranty, which they would have with your store. So going for no is super important in retail, because that question, how did you know they were done? Like, he as a salesperson was done. He's like, okay, it's over $1,000. I'm happy. How did you know they weren't going to spend $2,000? I mean, one of the things that I've said 100 times on this podcast, you are not your customer. Stop it. You are not your customer. And you have an empathy with a customer can be a very, very good thing. You going into their buying shoes and making decisions for them without their input is a very dangerous and slippery slope for you as a salesperson, because you are shortchanging the customer and you're shortchanging yourself and your store. But sorry, I went off on a tangent. I'm good for that. Here we go. Guy Danes, all the way, Kyle Danes, all the way from South Africa. Would you agree that it is closing the relationship value gap between you and the customer as quickly as possible? That it is closing the relationship value gap between you and your customer as quickly as possible? It's an interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about it is, or the point of it, I should say, of getting a no is that it puts you all that much closer to helping find a solution. So you're at least staying engaged with that customer and you're asking questions. And I think that, I mean, the key to any customer relationship in sales is being a good consultant, which means asking good questions, reviewing the information against all of your knowledge, and then making recommendations. So if you're not asking questions and getting some no's early on, then you're not bridging the gap between that relationship. So the quicker you get to questions, the better off you are.
I hope that answered your question. I think it did. So we are starting to get close to wrapping up. I have a question for you, Andrea. I asked you a few questions. I kind of started off with the pillow talk between you and Richard, and we kind of went off on a couple of tangents in the book. And by the way, everybody, get the book. Get the book. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 63 going on 64. Big, thick books. Like, listen, I love Napoleon Hill. I do. I love them. I don't love that. This, I love. I love thin books that help me be more successful, that teach me a lesson that I need to relearn. Maybe I learned it, but here's a question you should always ask yourself whenever you're confronted with a new piece of information and you're starting to push back on it. Because that's what we as human beings automatically do. Just ask yourself this one question. but do I do it? Or am I guilty of this foolishness? I'm laughing at this character who's selling menswear. I'm laughing at him. You idiot. Am I guilty of such foolishness myself? That's the question. And I think we really need to ask ourselves that question. So here's my question to you, my friend. Is there a question that I should have asked you that I didn't?
Okay, here's one. What is the my number one go-to recommendation to implement Go for No immediately?
Ooh, that's a great question. Andrea, what is your number one? What is your number one recommendation to implement Go for No immediately?
So the answer to that is, first thing, step one is create a no awareness. So take, it could be a day, it could be a week, take a week and really look at how many no's you actually collect. Count them, become mindful of them, create a no awareness so that you see where that gap is. And it's starting with that no awareness is so important. And then from there, start looking for your go for no moments. And P, you just listed them all, right? With the four things, like you said, these are four components of a mattress sale. Nobody should walk out of your store without these four things. So right there, you just identified four go for no moments. And sorry, I'm going a little long on this question, but once you create your no awareness, it's start executing on your go for no moments. And so now you're aware of when you go for no, how many you're collecting. So now try to up that number. Try to ask, you know, don't leave the mattress protector on the table. Don't leave that ask off. Just because you think that the customer spent $300 more than they had planned, that now they would never get a mattress protector in a million years. Well, what if they actually want to protect that investment because they just spent $300 more than they thought, right? It's that psychology that we don't pay attention to. And so that's my advice. No awareness, go for no moments.
That was so good. No awareness. As a matter of fact, that struck a chord with Chris because he immediately created a banner and put it up there like in no time flat, which is unusual. And one of the side benefits for Chris is he gets to listen to great guests like you and take notes. And man, is that good. So guys and gals, you guys and gals that are selling mattresses, did you get a no on an adjustable bed base? Did you get a no on a protector? Did you get a no on a pillow? Did you get a no on sheets? And I'm going to tell you something. The protector, I already told you, they don't have a peace of mind warranty unless it's on the same sale, pretty much with almost any protector company. So you really hurt them badly by not showing them the protector. But the worst thing to me is they are going to buy that new sheet set and they're going to go right down to another store, and they're probably going to spend more and get less. And that, my friends, is a shame. So make sure you look for your get your no moments and start increasing them. Joe Clay, you are the man. You know what I love about you, Joe? You are an implementer. You just implement. You are a reminder of what we all need to be, Joe. So thank you for doing that. That paperback. Marnie, look at you. Marnie just opened a new store, Andrea. And I'm excited to read and grow from this book. You will grow. And I think you're going to find a lot of the same moments that I did, Marnie. Guy Danes. Yes is a destination. Love this. Excellent guy. All the way from South Africa. Thank you, my friend. And, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night there, right? So these guys, they stay up late to watch this. I just love them. So amazing. Okay. So somebody has watched this. They've fallen in love with you. They're buying your book. What's the next step?
Yeah. So the next step on the path for individuals is to join our online course. Like I know a lot of creators, a lot of content creators and educators like me and you, Pete, you know, we have training programs and things like that. We're no different. We've upgraded. We've been around so long. I like that you referenced dinosaurs earlier because I've been in business so long now. We had CDs back in the day. And so finally, Richard and I got with the times and re-recorded all of our CD material and put it online. So that's really the next step, to go even deeper into, oh, there it is, Master and Go for No. Go deeper into the concepts and learn from us. I mean, we go deep into, believe it or not, failure and success and that model and why it's so important, and other no-related strategies.
That's awesome. Chris, you are amazing. Anybody out there that needs a podcast producer and you don't call Cast Ahead, Chris Stone at Cast Ahead, you guys are foolish. If I don't even know if Chris has any bandwidth to take on any more customers, but if he does, and that was my first question when I contacted him. I said, Chris, I know that, you know, you deal with a lot of heavy hitters. I'm just a little minnow in a pond. I don't know if you have the bandwidth to take somebody else on, but, I need to ask you the question. And I was so afraid he was going to say no that I almost didn't ask him.
There you go. Total go for no moment.
Yeah. And it was a go for no moment. And here we are, 168 episodes.
Wow. Later.
My Lord.
Yeah. Chris is a pro. I learned that being backstage.
Yes, he is. He is amazing. Any last words you'd like to say to our group? You know, obviously a few people have already ordered the book. They're going to have the book in the next 2 days. Anything else you'd like to add or things for them to do or notice?
Yeah, well, I appreciate everybody's support and comments on the show. It makes it super fun to know that people are out there and engaged. And I hope you love the book, whether it's Audible or paperback or however you engage with it. I guess my last piece of advice is just, you know, just practice. The worst thing that can happen when you go for no is you get a no. But oftentimes, and I find this, I hear from people all the time, they surprise themselves and they say, it's actually kind of hard to get a no. I'm getting many more yeses than I expected. And that's what we want. Obviously, that's the fun result.
Thank you, Texas Mattress Barn. I'm glad that you ordered it for your wife. You might want to sneak a peek at that too, my friend, because I'm going to tell you, it's kind of addictive because as you go through your day, you're wondering, like, did this happen before this and this? I mean, it's a novel. It's a great, great story. And it's just packed with wisdom that we need to help overcome our human programming. And I just had one question before I let you go, Andrea. So were you surprised? You mentioned that you maintained your own rights to the book. So good for you. Glad to see that you did that and that you have printed, you have sold it internationally. Have you been surprised at the number of sales you've gotten from India?
Yeah. We actually partnered with an Indian publisher who printed the Indian version and the English version for the continent of India. And yeah, it's very, very, very popular in India. It's pretty crazy. And I think it might be cultural reasons. I think they may have challenges with hearing no and feeling like sales is pushy. So I think Go for No might offer them a different perspective of how to approach sales, you know, the mindset that you want to have, and that no is okay. That's just my guess. You know, I don't really know a lot about the culture. That's just kind of my suspicion.
I once bought clothes from an Indian salesman. He owned the place and kind of became friends with him. And he told me the reason that he worked so much, because I was telling him, hey, dude, you got to slow down. I mean, you know, is that he was getting the money together for his wife, because in India, you have to you have to prove that you can provide a acceptable way of providing income for your family before you're actually granted permission to get married, which is very traditional and very cool. And it one of the things that's hit me over the years again and again as I have more contact with Indian people is there is a hunger for sales and there's a hunger for business knowledge there. They truly want to be exceptional. They want to be better. And yeah, I would say that you are right on the money. I think there is a cultural thing with them in particular. And I think to them, that title would be absolutely fascinating and intriguing, because like their whole life they have like gone out of their way to not get a no, and now here's these Americans telling them to go for no. And out of curiosity, I think they're gonna, but there's so many great lessons in it. So everybody, if you haven't already ordered this, order it. Go to Amazon, go for no. The Audible is great as well. And something that I didn't pick up right away is actually it is your husband's voice.
Yes. Yeah. The funny part about that was because we wrote the book so long ago, we recorded that for CDs back in like 2004. We just decided we hired a guy in a studio in Santa Monica, California, went in, recorded it. And then when Audible came along, we were ready. We were able to just upload our files. So it was pretty amazing. We got very lucky because we got on Audible really early. Mm-hmm.
That is great. Thank you, Andrea. This was the funnest hour I've had in a long, long time. And it's great to get to know you a little bit more. And I am so glad that I actually responded to your LinkedIn. I don't even know who the mutual person was, but whoever you were, thank you. Grab the book, Go for No, on Audible in paperback, and then hook up with Andrea and Richard, because they have a lot to give to you. And thank you. Go sell a million, guys. Thank you, Andrea.
Thanks, Pete. It was super fun.
Take care.